Romance of the Three Kingdoms, Chapter 99.
Okay, so let's unpack Sima Yi's arrival. He gets to Chang'an, sets up camp south of the Wei River, right near Qishan, and he immediately notices Kongming's setup.
Yeah, three camps, but strangely inactive. And for Kongming, inactivity is, well, it's suspicious.
Exactly. You know, Kongming usually quick, aggressive, so Sima Yi thinks, okay, this quietness, it must be hiding something. He figures there's a deeper move planned.
And tactically, his reading isn't wrong. He assumes Shu, being so far from their base, must have some kind of weakness. Maybe the supply lines, maybe a flank isn't covered.
Right. So his first plan is, well, it seems smart on paper. He decides to distract Kongming's main force at the front.
While sending Guo Huai and Sun Lai with about 5,000 troops down a smaller, less obvious path.
And their goal was kind of twofold, wasn't it? Either get to Wudu and Yinping and reinforce them if they're still holding out.
Or, if those places had already fallen, use that path to swing around and hit the Shu army from behind. A classic pincer.
It's a solid plan. Seems logical. But here's where it all falls apart. The timing.
Completely. Because Kongming wasn't planning his move, he'd already done it. While Sima Yi is setting up, Kongming had already secured those commanderies.
So as Guo Huai and Sun Li are marching down this little path, their scouts ride back frantically.
Yeah, with the news. Wudu! Zhang Wei's already taken it. Yinping, Wangping's got it.
The whole premise of their mission just evaporates. They can't reinforce cities that are already captured. Sima Yi was fundamentally too late.
Way too late. And suddenly, Guo Huai and Sun Li realize their other objective, hitting the Shu rear Wurai, as the text says, is also pointless and probably suicidal now.
So they decide to cut their losses, turn around, retreat. They probably think, okay, at least we avoided a disaster.
Kongning wasn't just letting them walk away. He was waiting.
And the way it happens is pure theater. They're retreating, think they're safe, then boom, a cannon blast.
And out rolls Kongning in his famous four-wheeled cart, calm as anything, flanked by Guanxing and Zhang Bao.
And he doesn't just attack. He mocks them first. He basically says, yeah, I knew Sima Yi sent you to attack my rear. He's showing he understood the entire strategy, not just the troop movement.
Psychological warfare right there.
Yeah.
And then the physical attack comes. Wang Ping and Zhang Wei hit them from behind, Guan Jing and Zhang Bao from the front.
It's a total rout. The Wei troops just break. Guo Huai and Sun Lai, the commanders, they actually have to abandon their horses and run away on foot.
Yeah. Losing your horse in that context, that signifies utter collapse, a loss of dignity and control. It shows just how fast and terrifying the rout was.
But it wasn't all good news for Shu, was it? There was a casualty.
No, there was a significant loss. During the chase, Zhang Bao, you know, Zhang Fei's son, a really promising, energetic commander, his horse stumbles. He falls into a ravine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sustains a really serious head injury. Kongming has to immediately order him sent back to Chengdu for treatment. It's a sharp reminder that even in victory, there's always a cost, always fragility.
A huge win strategically for Shu, securing territory and routing the enemy. But losing a key commander like Zhang Bao, that's a heavy blow.
Definitely.
Okay, so that's Act One. Now, Sima Yi gets his defeated generals back. He's lost territory. His plan failed spectacularly. What's going through his mind now? How does he come up with his second plan?
Well, Sima Yi isn't stupid. He recognizes Kongming outplayed him. The text has him saying something like, you. Kongming's intellect is ahead of mine. He tells Guo Huai and Sun Li, basically, okay, hold the cities of Yong and Mei. Don't attack, just defend. But he knows he can't just sit there.
So he needs a new angle. What's the thinking behind the night raid? It seems much riskier.
It is riskier, and it's based entirely on a critical assumption Sima Yi makes about Kongming's priorities after a victory.
An assumption? What did he assume?
He assumed Kongming, having just captured Wudu and Yinping, would be totally preoccupied with acting like a governor.
Hmm.
You know, setting up administration, pacifying the locals.
Ah, the Sakafi comforting the people to stabilize their hearts. Sima Yu thought Kongming would be bogged down in civic duties.
Exactly. He projected his own sense of duty, maybe, or just figured that's what a responsible leader would do. He thought Kongming, the administrator, would trump Kongming, the general, leaving the main camp potentially less guarded or commanded.
So he sees a window of opportunity, thinking Kongming is physically elsewhere, distracted.
That's the vulnerability he decides to target. And the plan is bold. A massive night assault on the Shu camp's rear at Qishan.
Who leads this one?
He assigns two of his best. Zhang He, a really renowned Wei general, takes 10,000 elite troops on the right. Dailing takes another 10,000 on the left. That's 20,000 elite soldiers aimed at the rear.
and Sima Yu himself.
He's ready with the main army to launch a massive frontal attack the moment he hears chaos erupt in the rear. Maximum impact, total destabilization. He thinks he's catching Kong Ming off guard.
Kong Ming, he seems to have anticipated not just the attack, but the reasoning behind the attack.
Precisely. Zhang He and Dai Ling meet up, start their night march towards the Shu rear. They get about 30 lines, maybe 10 miles, and then they just stop.
What stops them?
Hundreds of grass carts, just blocking the road in the dark.
Grass carts, simple carts.
Simple, but effective. They create a physical barrier, forcing the attackers to halt, figure out how to clear them, wasting precious time and making noise. And that's when the trap springs.
Lights, drums.
Suddenly, torches flare up all over the surrounding mountains. Drums and gongs start pounding. Zhang Yihe and Dai Ling realize they've walked right into an ambush. They're completely surrounded by hidden Shu troops.
And Kong Ming, again, makes sure they know why they failed.
Oh, yeah. He shouts down from Qishan high above them. He confirms he knew Sima Yi would assume he was away doing his governor duties. He basically says, I knew you'd think I wasn't here, but I am, and I was waiting for you.
Ouch, that's rubbing salt in the wound.
And then he twists the knife. He insults the generals directly, calling Zhang He and Dai Ling nameless subordinate generals, basically nobodies, and tells them they should just surrender.
Wow. Calling Zhang He, of all people, a nameless subordinate, that's designed to provoke, right?
Absolutely. It's not just an insult, it's psychological manipulation.
Yeah.
He wants them angry and reckless, not thinking clearly. And with Zhang He, it works.
Zhang He is furious, he curses Kong Ming, and then he does something pretty incredible, doesn't he? Even though it's hopeless.
He really does. Despite arrows and stones raining down, he just charges. He fights with incredible ferocity and actually breaks out of the encirclement.
Just pure warrior spirit.
But here's the kicker. He gets out. He's relatively safe. And then he turns around.
He goes back in.
He fights his way back into the chaos to rescue Dai Ling, who is still trapped. Manages to pull him out, and they both finally stagger back to Sima Yi's main camp, completely shattered.
That's extraordinary bravery. Fighting out, then fighting back in to save a comrade under those conditions.
It is. And Kong Ming, watching from Qishan, sees this display firsthand.
And he acknowledges it, right? He gives Zhang some serious praise.
The highest praise, really. He compares Zhang, he's fighting spirit directly to Zhang Fei, Zong Bao's legendary father. He says something like, Jelobo. Seeing him today, only now do I truly know his courage. Coming from Kong Ming, comparing someone to Zhang Fei, that's immense respect.
But then, almost in the same breath, that admiration turns into something else.
Instantaneously. The admiration is genuine, but the strategic mind immediately takes over. Kong Ming follows the praise with a cold calculation. If this man remains, he will definitely be a scourge to Shu.
So respect the warrior, but eliminate the threat.
Exactly. It's not personal animosity, it's pure threat assessment. A general with that level of individual fighting skill and leadership is too dangerous to leave on the board. Kong Ming decides then and there. Zhang, he has to be dealt with permanently down the line.
That's a chillingly clear strategic mind. And for you listening, that difference between admiring skill and assessing threat is really something to think about.
Meanwhile, back in the Wei camp, Sima Yi hears Zhang. His story, the ambush, the escape, everything. His reaction is immediate.
Total retreat.
Total retreat into a defensive posture. He orders his troops back, tells them to dig in, strengthen fortifications, and he makes that famous admission, he so. Kong Ming is truly a god among men. He basically concedes defeat on a strategic level. He realizes trying to outthink Kong Ming head on is a losing game right now. So Wei just sits tight, refusing battle for like half a month. Even when Shu tries to provoke them, he's decided to play the long game, wait for something else to change.
And for Kong Ming, this is a massive victory. He secured Wudu and Yimping, routed two major Wei offenses, captured tons of supplies, horses, weapons.
The victory on the battlefield translates directly into political gain back in Chengdu.
This is where the emperor gets involved.
Yes. The emperor sends Fei Yi, a high official, with an imperial edict. And this edict is crucial. It officially restores Kong Ming to his former position as chancellor, Shane.
Which he had previously relinquished, right? After the disaster at Jiding.
Exactly. He demoted himself. So this edict is both a restoration and a public validation. It specifically mentions his recent successes. Killing Wang Shuang earlier, making Guo Huai flee this time, retaking Wudu and Yimping. It's wiping the slate clean after Jiding.
Does Kong Ming just accept it immediately?
No. Initially, he resists. He says something like, "My, I don't know, my duty to the nation isn't finished yet." It's partly genuine humility, partly careful politics. Accepting high honors too readily could look bad.
So Fei Yi has to persuade him.
Pretty much. Fei Yi argues that refusing the promotion now, after such clear victories, would actually discourage the army and undermine morale. So Kong Ming eventually accepts the text since she formally receives the appointment. Kong Ming knows Sima Yi is sharp. A simple feint won't work.
No way. Sima Yi is too cautious. Kong Ming has to sell this idea that the whole campaign is genuinely falling apart. So he orders his camps broken up, starts this very slow, very visible retreat.
And Sima Yi gets the scout reports right away. But he's like, hold on.
Yeah, his first instinct is suspicion. He even says Kong Ming must have a great scheme. He figures Kong Ming's actually well supplied, so this has to be a trick. He doesn't buy it initially.
So for what, almost 2 weeks? Sima Yi just waits, watches?
Pretty much. 12 days. Kong Ming keeps up the act, moves back 30 lei, sets up camp, waits, moves another 30 likes, then again. It looks real, but Sima Yi is still holding back.
But the slow pace starts creating problems within Sima Yi's own ranks, right?
Precisely. This is where Kong Ming's genius really shines. He's using the retreat not just to lure Sima Yu, but to sow dissent among his commanders. General Zhang He, a Qi Wei general, gets really impatient.
Okay. So Zhang, he starts pushing back.
Vigorously. He argues this is just a slow retreat tactic, maybe because Kong Ming's supplies are actually low, despite what Sima Yi thinks. Zhang, he insists, we have to pursue now or we lose our chance.
So Sima Yi's caught. His own strategic sense screams, trap. But his senior general is basically demanding action. Political pressure, command pressure.
It's immense. He has to give in, but he tries to manage the risk, you know? He sets these super strict conditions. Zhang, he can lead the vanguard. 30,000 troops, fine. But Sima Yi himself will follow with only 5,000 as backup.
Explicitly to guard against ambushes.
Exactly. And the crucial order, Zhang, he must halt halfway, rest his troops, and only engage on the third day. He's trying desperately to prevent his men from being exhausted and surprised. He's still being cautious, even in pursuit.
So Kong Ming isn't just retreating. He's running this complex psychological operation, needing Zhang. He's impatient just as much as Sima Yi's eventual move.
Absolutely. Now that Sima Yi's finally committed, even cautiously, Kong Ming can spring the next phase. Phase two, deploying the actual trap.
Okay. Kong Ming knows the Wei forces, especially under Zhang He, will fight fiercely once they engage. He needs the right people for the ambush.
Right. People who can fight outnumbered 1 against 10, as the text says, and who are totally loyal. The selection itself is interesting.
Yeah, tell us about that when he asks for volunteers.
Well, Wei Yan, a famous general, actually stays silent, declines the mission implicitly, but Wang Ping steps up immediately. Kong Ming praises him, calls him a true loyal subject. Loyalty is key here.
And then Zhang Yi volunteers too.
He does, but Kong Ming actually hesitates for a moment. He reminds Zhang Yi that Zhang He is, you know, incredibly formidable, brave as 10,000 men.
Is that genuine doubt, or is Kong Ming testing him?
Probably testing, making sure Zhang Yi understands the sheer danger, ensuring he's going in with resolve, not just ambition, steel-manning his commanders, really.
Okay, so he's got Wang Ping and Zhang Yi. What's their mission? It's kind of weird, isn't it?
It's totally counterintuitive, but brilliant. Each gets 10,000 elite troops. They hide in these mountain valleys. And the order is, wait. Let the entire Wei army, all 35,000 of them, march past you completely.
Let them all go by.
Every single one. Then slam the door shut behind them, attack the rear, cut off their retreat. Once they're past, they're deep in the trap, mountains on both sides, committed.
Wow. That requires incredible discipline from Wang Ping and Zhang Yi. Just sit there while the whole enemy army marches past your hiding spot.
Exactly. Okay, phase three. The multi-layered battle plan. This wasn't just one ambush. It was like a tactical layer cake.
Right. First layer, the lure. Four generals, Ma Zong, Zhang Yi, a different one, apparently common name.
Wow.
Wu Yi, Wu Ban. Their job wasn't really to fight hard.
Not to win, no. Their job was to fight and retreat, engage, pull back, engage, pull back. It's the exhaustion phase. Make Zhang, he think the Shu army is panicking, disorganized, draw them deeper and deeper into the mountains.
The very terrain Sima Yi wanted to avoid.
Yeah.
And wearing them down in the heat.
Precisely. Now, Kong Ming anticipates things might go wrong. What if the ambushers get surrounded? What if the plan stalls? This leads to the deepest layer, the famous silk pouch.
Ah, yes, the silk pouch. Kong Ming loves his secret instructions.
Classic Kong Ming. He gives one pouch to Jiang Wei and Lia Hua, along with 3,000 elite troops. They hide on a mountain above the battle, totally concealed.
And the instruction is key here. They are specifically told not to jump in, not even if their comrades are in trouble.
That's the critical part. Do not engage. Do not try to rescue Wang Ping and Zhang Yi unless they are in extreme danger. Only then do they open the pouch for further orders. It's a specific trigger for a contingency.
It's like a backup plan for the backup plan.
Sort of, yeah. And there's one more piece. The main attack signal, Guan Xing, is hidden nearby with 5,000 troops. He does nothing until he sees a red flag signal from Kong Ming himself, who's watching everything from a high vantage point.
So Kong Ming is like the conductor, watching the whole orchestra, waiting for the perfect moment to bring in the final section.
Perfectly put. It's an incredibly complex, synchronized operation.
Okay, phase four. Execution. The trap springs. Zhang, he takes the bait.
He chases those four retreating generals for miles, maybe 20 lies. It's June, sweltering hot. The text emphasizes this. His men are drenched in sweat, gasping for air, totally exhausted. Sima Yi's order to rest, completely ignored in the heat of the chase.
And then Kong Wing gives the signal.
Waves the red flag. Wan Xing charges out from his hiding place. At the same instant, the four generals who are retreating suddenly turn and attack.
And Wang Ping and Song Yi.
They crash into the Wei rear guard just as planned. Suddenly, Zhang, his exhausted army, is trapped fighting on two fronts. Chaos.
But hang on, Sima Yi had that reserve force, right? His 5,000 troops.
He did, and this is where his caution actually helps him, temporarily. He arrives, sees the situation, and immediately throws his reserve into the fight, right into the center. He manages to encircle Wang Ping and Zhang Yi.
So Kong Ming's ambushers are now the ones trapped. The plan is failing.
It looks that way. They're in extreme danger, the exact trigger condition. Up on the mountain, Jiang Wei and Liao Hua see this. They open the silk pouch.
Okay, the moment of truth. What does it say? Rescue them, right? Attack Sima Yi's reserve.
Nope. That's what makes it so stunning. The instruction is the exact opposite. Do not rescue them. Instead, take your 3,000 troops, split them, and immediately launch a surprise attack on Sima Yi's main base camp miles away.
What? Attack the camp, leave Wang Ping and Zhang Yi surrounded. That's ruthless.
It's strategically ice cold. But Kong Ming understood Sima Yi perfectly. Sima Yi valued control, logistics, his base of operations, more than any single field engagement. That camp was his center of gravity.
So Kong Ming figured threatening the camp would force Sima Yi to react.
He knew Sima Yi would prioritize saving his base above everything else, even above consolidating a tactical win on the battlefield. It attacks Sima Yi's core psychology.
And it works.
It's like a charm. A messenger arrives at Sima Yi's position. Aeon John, a shooting star horse, basically urgent news his main camp is under attack. Sima Yu instantly realizes the depth of the trap. He literally says, I knew Kong Ming had a plan. You wouldn't believe me, insisted on chasing, and now we've lost everything.
He blames Zhang He, essentially.
Pretty much. And he orders an immediate panicked retreat back to his camp. The moment that reserve force turns around, the morale of the entire Wei army just collapses.
They're already exhausted, fighting on two fronts, and now their commander's retreating.
Total rout. Massive defeat. Huge casualties, equipment abandoned everywhere, all because Kong Ming targeted the command center, the psychological anchor, not just the troops in the field.
An incredible victory, yeah. Won purely through strategy and understanding the opponent. Kong Ming must be ready to press the advantage now.
You'd think so. He is preparing to advance again, solidify the gains, and then everything changes. Phase five, the sudden pivot.
What happens?
News arrives from Chengdu. Personal, tragic news. General Zhang Bao, a close friend and trusted officer of Kong Ming's, has died.
Oh, wow. So right at the moment of triumph.
Yeah. The human element crashes in. The sources say Kong Ming is utterly devastated. He cries uncontrollably, literally spits blood and faints. He wakes up sick, confined to his bed.
Just like that, the victory momentum, gone.
Completely gone. Overwhelmed by grief and illness, Kong Ming, the master strategist, is forced to make a purely personal decision with huge strategic consequences. He orders an immediate secret retreat back to Hanzhong.
He gives up all the ground he just won.
Has to. He's too ill to lead. The campaign is over. Just like that.
And Sima Yi, what does he make of this sudden disappearance?
About 5 days later, his scouts confirm the Shu army is gone. Sima Yi lets them go. And he offers this final, almost respectful assessment of his rival. Kong Ming truly has a strategy of appearing and disappearing like a ghost. I cannot match him.
Even in retreat, Kong Ming keeps him guessing.
Always. while Kang Ming is actually recuperating in Chengdu.
Exactly. He'd been ill. And the Wei court sees this as a window of opportunity. Cao Zhen, who becomes the main commander, goes to Emperor Rui and says, look, now's the time. Autumn is good for moving troops. Let's invade Shuhan and extirpate the wicked faction before they get any stronger.
Extirpate the wicked faction. Strong words.
Very. And the emperor, Cao Rui, he approves it pretty much immediately. So Cao Zhen is appointed Grand Marshal. Sima Yi is his second-in-command, the General-in-Chief. And they bring in Liu Ye as the military counselor.
And the target is Hanzong through Chang'an and the Jiangsu Pass.
That's the plan. 400,000 troops aiming for a swift, decisive strike.
Oh.
Overwhelming force.
But even before a single soldier marches, there's this fascinating story about Liu Ye and secrecy inside the Wei court itself. It's not just about hiding things from Xu.
No, exactly. It's a brilliant example of what the classics call Guidao, the art of deception, but applied internally. It's quite something.
So what happened?
Well, Liu Ye first goes to the emperor and strongly encourages the invasion, says, you know, absolutely, we must do this now. Delay is dangerous. Standard stuff.
Okay.
But then other ministers start noticing him telling colleagues the complete opposite. He's saying, actually, this is a terrible idea. Xu's terrain, it's mountainous, it's difficult. This campaign will be incredibly costly, maybe impossible.
Wait, he's saying one thing to the emperor and the exact opposite to other senior officials? That sounds incredibly risky. Isn't he worried the emperor will find out and think he's, I don't know, incompetent or just two-faced?
But that's the genius of it, or at least how we framed it. The emperor does find out. Another official, Yang Ji, tips him off. So the emperor confronts Liu Ye.
And Liu Ye's explanation.
He basically says, Your Majesty, the art of war is the art of deception. Bing Jie, Guidao Ye. Strategic matters are secret. They cannot be leaked, not even to other ministers.
Wow.
He argues, if I'd gone around telling everyone what a brilliant plan this was, the news might spread, word could leak, maybe even reach Xu. My public skepticism protects the mission's secrecy.
So he made the contradiction itself part of the strategy, operational security, by sowing doubt among his own peers.
Exactly. And according to the sources, the emperor was actually impressed. He saw it as proof of Liu Ye's discretion and strategic depth.
That's quite a lesson in internal court politics and secrecy. The biggest leak isn't always the spy. Sometimes it's just chatter in the hallways.
It really highlights how seriously they took information control at the highest levels. Okay, so Wei has now launched this massive, carefully concealed invasion. The news eventually reaches Kang Ning, who's back training troops in Hanzong.
And this is where we get that number mismatch again. 400,000 are coming, and Kang Ming makes his move.
His first move, yeah. And it's shocking. He takes two generals, Zhang Yi and Wang Ping, and gives them just 1,000 soldiers to hold the Changkang Ancient Road, a critical pass.
1,000 men. Understandably, the generals are terrified.
Completely. They basically plead with Kang Ning, saying, this is impossible. How can we possibly hold this vital point against that kind of army with just 1,000 men? Please give us more troops. It's a potential crisis of confidence right there.
But Kang Ming.
Kang Ming apparently just laughs it off. He tells them not to worry. He wasn't betting on their swords. He was betting on the sky.
The sky. Okay, exclaim.
He reveals he's been watching the celestial signs. Specifically, he observed, and this is a technical term for the text, the bi-star dwelling in the division of the Great Yin.
Right, the bi-star dwelling in the Great Yin. For those of us, you know, without our ancient Chinese astronomical charts handy, what did that actually mean? What was it predicting?
It was basically a high-confidence weather forecast. The bi-star was strongly associated with rain and storms. And seeing it in the Great Yin sector, which was linked to water, dampness, wintry conditions, it was ancient China's version of a Met Office severe weather warning.
So he wasn't just guessing it might rain. He was predicting serious prolonged rain.
Exactly. Continuous heavy rain, Lin Yu, the term used. He predicted it would happen within the month. He was using, for the time, advanced astronomical knowledge to foresee a major weather event.
Okay, that completely changes the picture. The 1,000 troops weren't there to fight a battle.
No. They were just a delaying tactic. Hold the pass just long enough for the weather front to arrive.
So Kang Ming's real strategy was patience. Let the weather do the heavy lifting.
Precisely. It's a classic principle. Yi Gi Dalo. Wait for the exhausted enemy while your own troops are rested. He knew that massive Wei army wouldn't dare push deep into those dangerous mountain passes once the heavens opened up.
Makes sense. Treacherous terrain plus torrential rain is a nightmare.
So his plan was simple. Let his own army, maybe 100,000 strong, just rest comfortably in Hanzong for a month. Stay dry, stay supplied. Then, when the weather finally cleared, his rested, well-fed troops would face a soaking wet, demoralized, probably starving Wei army.
And crucially, he didn't just predict it, he prepared for it.
Immediately, that's key. He ordered all the passes under his control to stockpile a full month's worth of dry firewood, dry fodder for the animals, and good quality grain. He was actively mitigating the effects of the rain he predicted for his own side.
Right. Meanwhile, the Wei army is marching on, oblivious.
Pretty much. Cao Zhen and Sima Yi arrive at Chengkang. But Kang Heng had already been there and gone, burning the city down as he retreated towards Hanzhong. So no immediate shelter for the Wei army.
An initial setback for them. Cao Zhen wants to push on, right? Keep the momentum.
He does. But Sima Yi, who clearly was also paying attention to the signs, or maybe just common sense about autumn weather in the mountains, advises caution.
Did Sima Yi see the same star?
The sources say yes. He apparently sighted the exact same astronomical sign, the B star, in the Great Yin, and warned Cao Zhen that torrential rain was inevitable. He suggested they stop right there and build temporary shelters, Wopu, amongst the ruins of Chengkang.
Did they listen? Or was it just too hard to shelter 400,000 men?
Well, whether they didn't fully heed the warning or just couldn't implement it effectively on that scale, the prediction came true. Within about half a month, the rain started, and they didn't stop.
How long did it last?
30 consecutive days.
Yeah.
A solid month of heavy, continuous rain.
Wow. Okay, paint a picture of what that actually meant for the Wei army on the ground.
It was a logistical catastrophe. You've got 400,000 men, plus horses, equipment. The ground outside Chengkang apparently flooded 3 feet deep.
3 feet of water and mud.
Exactly. Soldiers couldn't sleep, couldn't rest. Constant exposure. Weapons were soaked, probably rusting, becoming unusable. Bowstrings slack.
Yeah.
And the horses. Countless horses died because there was no dry fodder. They couldn't get supplies through.
So the supply lines just collapsed. An army that size needs a constant flow of food and material.
Completely collapsed. Think about it. They were geared for movement on hopefully dry autumn roads. Now, every single road, every path, is a quagmire. They're massive numbers, meant to be an overwhelming advantage, turned into this gargantuan liability. How do you feed and shelter that many people when you can't even move supplies?
It's not just discomfort, it's a systemic failure. Their strength became their weakness because of the predictable weather.
That's the perfect way to put it. If your planning doesn't account for the operating environment, even predictable elements like seasonal rain, then 400,000 men just become 400,000 mouths you can't feed.
So back in the Wei capital, Luoyang, word starts trickling back about this disaster.
Yes. Emperor Rui is apparently praying for clear skies, but it's not working. It becomes very clear to the court that the entire campaign is unraveling. This is cemented by a formal petition, a memorial submitted by key officials like Wang Su, Yang Fu, and Hua Xun.
And Wang Su's argument was that this whole situation violated a fundamental principle, a great military taboo. What was that taboo?
It boiled down to the deadly combination of logistics and terrain under extreme weather. Wang Su pointed out the immense difficulty of sending rations 1,000 li kin li kuyang.
1,000 li? How far is that, roughly?
About 300 miles, give or take.
Yeah.
A huge distance to maintain a supply line for such a massive army anyway. But doing it through treacherous mountain passes, where they literally had to keep digging out the road Zhao Lu Qin while it's pouring rain for a month.
It's just unsustainable. Completely impossible.
Utterly. Wang Su basically said, "Our troops are exhausted, they're sick, supplies can't reach them, they're stuck in mud." Meanwhile, the enemy, Shu, is sitting comfortably in Hanzhong, rested and supplied. "We are facing immense labor while they enjoy rest." It's the textbook definition of a losing military position.
A situation that guarantees defeat, essentially.
That was his argument.
Yeah.
And faced with that stark assessment, plus the undeniable reality of the weather, Emperor Rui really had no other option. He issued an imperial edict, recalling Cao Zhen and Sima Yi. The invasion was over.
So the order comes to retreat, but retreating a massive, demoralized army through those same muddy passes could be just as dangerous, right? Especially if Kong Ming decides to attack.
Absolutely. A retreating army is vulnerable. And Sima Yi, being the meticulous strategist he was, knew this perfectly well. He wasn't just going to pack up and run.
He planned the withdrawal carefully.
He did. He anticipated that Kong Ming might pursue them. So he set up a specific tactic. Two forces deployed in ambush to cover the rear Fu Liang Junduan Ha.
Okay, so hidden troops ready to strike anyone who chases them.
Exactly. If the Shu army came after the main retreating Wei force, they'd run straight into this prepared counterattack. It was designed to inflict losses and buy time for the bulk of the Wei army to get away safely.
Which brings us back to Kang Ming. The rain finally stops. He calculates the month is up.
He does. He predicts that the Wei Emperor must have recalled the army by now. His scouts, including Wang Ping from that initial small force, confirm it. The Wei army is indeed pulling back.
The moment seems perfect for a counterattack. Chase them down while they're weak and retreating.
It must have been incredibly tempting. That huge army, humiliated, struggling through the mud. But Kongming issues a very clear, very firm order. Do not pursue.
Don't pursue after all this. Why not? Why let them get away?
Because he was still thinking ahead. He understood his opponent. He knew Sima Yi. He reasoned that a strategist of Sima Yi's caliber would never retreat without setting traps.
He predicted the ambush.
He anticipated it. Pursuing might have won a small final victory, maybe captured some stragglers, but it would have meant walking straight into Sima Yi's prepared ambush, costing valuable Shu lives and resources for little strategic gain.
So avoiding that last fight was actually the smarter move.
In Kongming's calculation, yes. His main victory was already won by the rain, by his forefight, by Wei's logistical failure. He didn't need a bloody pursuit to prove it. He chose preservation of his own forces over chasing a defeated enemy. The sources say he preferred to let them go and focus on planning for future campaigns, Zaizu Liang II, save his strength for the next round.